Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Today we conclude our series, War's Invisible Injury, about how the effects of war may be causing what's called moral injury to soldiers. It's a term some experts use to describe the after effects, including guilt, of being involved of some act of war that conflicts with deeply held moral beliefs. All this week, we've heard from veterans who are still grappling with their roles in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Vietnam. Here's an excerpt of our conversation with former Marine Corps Captain Tyler Boudreau, who said his daily duties during the war in Iraq have taken a toll.
Even if it's justified, even if it's like a clear-cut showdown, and you won, and nobody would ever, like, fault you, and yet, just for humanity's sake, you feel some guilt.
To talk about how to identify and treat moral injury, we ask Shira McGinn to Morning Edition today. McGinn teaches psychiatry at the University of California, San Francisco, and works with veterans at a VA medical center there.
Moral injury isn't a diagnosis the same way that PTSD is a diagnosis. But while PTSD symptoms may be experienced as a result of moral injury, we really conceptualize many other possible reactions to moral injury, such as isolation, withdrawal, depression, anxiety, a failure to self-forgive, self-harming behaviors, and even possibly suicide.
We heard a couple of times this week about how soldiers were trained to dehumanize the enemy and have a new moral compass in a way that goes against their core beliefs. We heard that from several of the folks we talked to this week. Here, for example, is Giselle Sterling, who was a communications operator in Afghanistan in 2002. She told soldiers where to drop bombs or where to shoot.
When you come back to a society that says, we appreciate what you've done and what you've put yourself through, but now get a job and be normal.
You know, like, how do you process that afterward? That's something I'm still trying to figure out.
How do you help soldiers like her process what happened and then try to return to normalcy?
Yeah, I think that's beautifully said on her part. I think the reintegration process is quite complex and can last a long time for many people. And so I think that one piece of it is really being able to get people in right away, people who are struggling with some of these issues, we can get them in right away, and so that it becomes something that we deal with as soon as they're ready, and so it doesn't last many years before they get help. And that requires actually a lot of help from family members, people from the community, to not allow people to suffer, so that if you identify a loved one who you think is having some of these symptoms and is having some of these reintegration problems, it's important that we as a community act together to help support people so that they can really get the help that they need.
And what does that help consist of? What's the treatment?
We personally are conducting a study that's testing a 6-to-8 session treatment module that can be used with existing evidence-based treatments for PTSD. It's targeted at individuals who have killed in war and are bothered by their experience, and we examine some of their thoughts about what happened and how they've reacted in detail. We also deal with issues of loss, acceptance, and self-forgiveness, among others.
Does that mean that as part of the treatment, you have to retrain some of these folks to rehumanize everyone?
I think that what happens is when people return to their civilian life, the military culture has many different things that are quite different for people when they get back into the civilian world and are really used to acting under those particular training and rules of engagement. And when they get back, it can be quite complicated for a lot of people on many different levels. You know, everything from going to school to being with your family can be quite a struggle when you've been engaging under different rules of conduct.
It's almost like having to wash some of that out of you, isn't it?
Well, there is, you know, I think that different cultures have different ways of dealing with it. And so a lot of people have spoken to me about the Native American culture, how when people get back, there really is a whole process that happens several days after you get back to really do a cleansing. And I think that that's something that people who have gone through have said has been very helpful because it allows them to really both mentally and spiritually cleanse and kind of step into a different role, their civilian role.
And does treatment for moral injury yet take those concepts into account?
I think that what we try to do is really help the person go back and think about what happened to them and how it's affecting them now. So in that way, we are kind of allowing them to go back to the past and look at how it's affecting them in the future. The question that you're asking is important because what it points to is that the treatment at the VA is one piece of a much larger reintegration process that can happen for people. And so they might integrate a lot of different things, which includes, you know, for a lot of people, reconnecting with spiritual communities, if that's important to them, reconnecting with families, maybe coming in for treatment. But it really is a multifaceted process that people have to go through. And no one thing is going to be helpful in and of itself, but it's really what is the person doing on the whole, and how are we supporting the person in their reintegration process?
Let me ask you finally, is there any way, do you think, to prevent moral injury?
So I think because the mental health research about moral injury is really in its infancy, we have a lot to learn, and that's the bottom line. War is complex, and because there are many potentially morally injurious situations in war, it's really difficult to know exactly how to prevent these and the resulting psychological reactions that follow. I think a lot of people ask the same thing about PTSD, and that answer is complex as well. But the bottom line is with moral injury, we have a lot more to learn before we can begin to answer this question. And hopefully through continued research in this area, we can answer some of the more difficult and important questions concerning moral injury.
Shira McGinn, thank you very much for speaking with us. We appreciate your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Shira McGinn teaches psychiatry at the University of California, San Francisco. She also works with veterans at the San Francisco VA Medical Center. Our series, War's Invisible Injury, is a collaborative project between WBUR and American Public Media's Public Insight Network.